And just like that, the clock takes noon. All right, I'm going to be honest with you. It's my Friday. And so if the clock ticks noon, I'm going to say it like it's a Friday. On a Thursday! And my friends, welcome to The Daily. As we are live from the McKibben Media Group World Headquarters in Summit Township. And we're brought to you by Knudsen's, your outdoor convenience store, kettlebell hot spot where your functional fitness begins. Bud Light McUltra and Tri-County Water. Ah, that's good water. TriCountyWater.com, because you need peace of mind about what's really in your water. I've got my Tri-County Water. Jacob, do you have your Tri-County Water? You've got your Tri-County Water too. Oh, I got to turn your microphone on.
Yep, got it right here. It's delicious.
Jacob Tuttle in the studio with us a little bit earlier. Now, it's not really a full hour of that solid with Tuttle Concrete.
Right.
But, I mean, it could be, because we got a little glitch in the programming.
Yeah.
But you're
that out right now.
So you're Carson Cooper's people.
We know Carson,
friends.
Yeah.
You're friends. So we had Carson scheduled to join us here at noon, and we've had a fun conversation for the last 30. I'm going to ask him this, and you're going to ask him this, and right. Then we're going to talk about this. Ooh, I want to ask about the Michigan stuff. It's been confirmed. Something happened. Don't know what. I'm assuming that he's probably changing light bulbs or getting bugs at his parents' house right now.
Right.
Because... yeah. I'm only 6'1", so I know when I'm around people who, as I call it, there's two different things.
Yeah.
They're either vertically challenged or they're fun-sized. That's the other.
Right.
You know, they're fun-sized. So when I go into said household full of fun-sized people, I'm in charge or I am asked, hey, can you get that for me? So
yeah.
I'm only assuming that's a large part of Carson Cooper's life, and that's probably what's pulling him away from us right now.
Yeah, you know, he could be busy with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe
it's not basketball season, so he's not basketball.
Well, right. You know, you never know, though.
Uh-huh.
For him, you know, he's probably grinding mm-hmm. all year round.
So we have our people working on it, trying to connect with his people, and I'm confident he'll be joining us at some point during the show. But between now and then, you know, the second half of the show, Jacob, we're just going to move the second half of the show to the first half of the show for now, and let's go ahead and talk a little Detroit Tiger baseball. And I feel like it's only a 2-game losing streak, and I feel like it's kind of like a slump right now because it's been 18 innings since they scored a run, and they scored, you know, a run
right.
late in the game yesterday. But
yeah.
It feels like, and we knew it would happen, but it feels like it's a little bit of a slump right now. It's
yeah,
not,
you know,
but it feels like it.
Yeah, and you know, they're obviously still atop the standings right now. But that's rough, though. You know, you talk about losing a couple games.
Like that.
No big deal. But,
right.
You know, to lose them like that by not even scoring a run
mm-hmm.
is that does get rough.
It was pretty rough yesterday. Let me know what you feel of this assessment, because we're talking about yesterday's game, which the Tigers lost 5-1 to the Brewers, a team really they should have beat. I'm trying to think. Who the heck was it that got that dinger yesterday? I'm pulling it up right now. I don't know why I'm blanking on it at the moment.
Well, Torkelson hit.
Torkelson hit a solo dinger yesterday.
Yeah.
Ending that scoring drought. But they put Keiter Montero on the mound yesterday.
He
pulled
was,
him up from Toledo.
Yeah. Yep.
And it was a love-hate thing.
Right.
Either he was just throwing aces, smoking them, striking people out, or he was just letting the balls go out of the park.
Yeah.
And to me, this is my assessment, to me, pulling him up from Toledo, it felt like this series, they waved the white flag by pulling up Montero and saving some of their better pitchers for this series, an interconference series, interdivision series with the Royals. It kind of felt, because you're not going to win them all. Baseball's it's not a sprint.
Yeah.
It's a long grind.
Right.
So you give this series up so you can set the table for a divisional series. That's what it felt like yesterday.
Well, you know, the thing on that, too, is just the fact that they're still trying to figure their pitching out for the season, right? You know, we're early in the season. You know, it's probably a situation where they saw an opportunity to bring Montero up. all right, now we want to see what he can do up here in the MLB, what he can do on the big stage, give him a shot earlier in the season. You know, maybe they'll give him another shot. Who knows how long he'll stick around. Maybe he'll go back down to work on some things. But sometimes you got to kind of go back and forth a little bit to see what you have, to also see what they need to work on, you know, at that level. But you know what? Yeah, struck out. I think he struck out 8 batters, but also gave up the 4 home runs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, there could be a number of things. There could be a number of things going on there that that could cause that. So maybe he's just missing his location. So when he's hitting his locations, he's striking batters out. When he's hitting his locations, he's the opposite. When he's hitting his location, he's striking guys out. When he's missing, he's giving up home runs. So, well, I'm curious to see. I think there's a lot of potential there. So we'll see what happens with that.
Okay. So tonight, all right, we're getting the high sign from the producers. I will give him a call here in just a second, unless he's going to call in on 990-9426. But as soon as I get a sec to dial that in, I will.
He says to give him a call again, right, so we can do that.
I'll give him a call here in just a second. So, and we're going to circle back more to the Tigers. We're going to circle back more to the AL Central in just a little bit. Tigers, Royals tonight. Royals are 8-11, 2-7. In conference play,
amen.
Or when they're on the road, Tigers are 10-8. They are 5-1 at home. You got it. Let them know. I'll give them a call in just a sec. So the Royals, Tigers are 66.1% chance of winning this one. Kansas City Royals 33.9%. Michael Lorenzen on the bump for the Kansas. There's a familiar name versus Reese Olson. So Jacob, tell me what you like about this matchup and what you expect with the Tigers with this 4-game homestand.
So honestly, what I would like to see from the Tigers is I would love to see for them to shore up their offense a little bit. You know, this offense was something that was actually running on all cylinders at the end of last season after an absolutely terrible offensive performance most of the year. And now this year, all of a sudden, they're hitting the ball better, but they're also going through stretches here and there. So it's been a little bit of a roller coaster. So I think just seeing consistency offensively and then also, you know, just figuring a lot of stuff out 18 games into the season. So I want to see, for the next month or so, actually, in general, I would just love to see a little bit more consistency and just kind of see some potential moving forward.
All right, there it is. Jacob Tuttle. You know, that's a solid take. I like that.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, all right. Well, I tell you what, our 13 producers were able to make it happen, and we're going live to the sports line, and we're welcoming MSU's Carson Cooper, Jackson's own Carson Cooper, to the show. Carson, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks for having me again.
So we were speculating that you were helping someone change light bulbs or killing bugs on the season, but you were actually in a coach's meeting.
Yeah, yep, okay. yep, in a coach's meeting, figuring out some stuff for the off season. So
all right, all right. Since you brought it up, let's go ahead and start there. That's where we're going to start today. What? It's not like you just kind of go off and you hit the golf course or anything. This life with MSU basketball, this is a year-round thing.
Oh yeah, no doubt. It's a grind over here, and you got to find that happy medium too, especially in the off season.
What is it? What's it like? What do you do? What is your off season like preparing for your senior year?
Yeah, so once the season's over, for me especially, I like to take at least a week to allow my body to recover and you know, just think about how the season was and everything like that. And then after that week, usually trying to get back into lifting and getting back in the gym, getting shots up. And that's still during the school year. And then once the school year is over in May and everyone usually goes home, for me, it's nice because of, you know, how close I am to Michigan State and how that's, you know, like home to me and everything like that. So it allows me to stay around East Lansing during May while everyone's home and stay connected to the coaches and our GAs and managers that allow us to work out. So usually in May, it's a grind. Usually early workout in the morning, try to get lift in probably after that. And then during the day, you got the day to do whatever you like. Maybe just go hit the golf course every once in a while. Maybe it's do this or that. And then usually coming in at night and getting another workout in. Everyone knows that it's the off season where you get better, and especially for me going into my senior year, so the biggest off season I got to make, or the biggest jump I got to make this off season for next year. So
that was something I knew you were going to say. You're going to be out on the golf course. So you know, obviously, I know how much you enjoy playing golf and getting out there on the golf course. So I was like, yeah, I know he's going to be playing a lot of golf this year too. So, So speaking of the off season, you know, a couple of things have happened. We know how great your relationship was with, I almost said Jiggy. So your relationship was with Trey Holloman. So how, you know, with everything that's happened with him going to NC State, you know, as a Spartan fan, it hurts because we love Trey. And so to see him going somewhere else, to see him wearing an NC State uniform, it's just so surreal and so crazy. So how are you handling that? You know, obviously, Trey, you being close to Xavier Booker going to UCLA now, Garrett going to, transferring out. So how does that affect you as a player?
Yeah, sorry, you're a little quiet there, Jacob, but I got the question. Yeah, I mean, it's tough. The relationship I have with Trey is second to none. Just being my roommate the last 2 years and, being the guard that, you know, is, we felt like we had a good chemistry. It hurts for sure. We had a lot of talks. There was a lot of heart to hearts leading up to that decision. Ultimately it's his decision and there's only so much I can do to convince him to stay and stuff of that nature. So for me, just finding that happy medium for him and understanding the reasoning is huge. For Trey and his role at NC State and being the point guard there is, I think, more important position wise than maybe playing a two guard here next year. I can respect that for sure. And nowadays with how crazy it is in the portal and how the money is growing every year, as some aspect, it's almost life-changing money. Although it is short-term money, but so obviously, it hurts for the Spartan community and that's my guy and I'll forever stay close to him and everything like that. But for the record, I was trying my hardest to get him to stay, especially with Jace and Jaden and a lot of guys leaving. But he felt like he had to do what was best for him and with Booker too, Booker was my roommate on the road all year. And the relationship that we have is really good too. And Booker was so good all year, just mentally being able to stay in, even though probably a lot of people knew that he was going to transfer or leave or something like that around like the February mark, just of you can kind of see it.
Right.
He was able to still stay dialed into, our practices, our game plans and ultimately not, hurt the team camaraderie or team morale or anything for the rest of the year. So I give him props for that. But ultimately, it's going to be nice because we get to play him next year. So we'll get to hopefully play a good UCLA team. And hopefully that's the place where he can develop and be the player that everyone hopes he could be. So I wish the best for him too. But obviously it's a tough time over here it's worse some other places. So I feel like for here and the culture that coach has built, it's nice to even still have, seven or eight guys stay than having a full team leave. So,
well, when we have, all of this happening, you mentioned a few things in there. You mentioned NIL, you mentioned the portal, of course, leaving early for the NBA. When we have all this going, and it's been kind of part of the sports conversations with NCAA football and basketball for a few years now, and it from a fan's perspective, it kind of feels like it's getting a little out of hand. And when that happens, and anything, usually a correction is on the way. The pendulum is going to swing the other way eventually. Do you feel like it's time for a correction to happen in the NCAA? Do you feel like it's time to maybe pull back on the portal, or pull back on NIL or any of that stuff here with the NCAA basketball?
Yeah, I mean, I think I can feel both ways. You know, I feel like that's a little too political for me ultimately, but I feel like there's a good medium that we need to find. I don't think we found that yet, and that is going to, you know, the pendulum is going to swing the other way, and it's going to hopefully hit that medium. But I think the hard part right now is for, you know, I was blessed with having great parents and that you know that raised me to be a good person, a good student, and to be smart and thoughtful and stuff. So for me and stuff like that, it allows me to have a little more common sense when coming into it, and ultimately, yeah, like I could have gone and got more money somewhere else, but I value things that you can't really put a price on. Being close to home for me, you know, having a fan base that likes me, you know, having family that can come to every home game, stuff like that is you know, stuff personally that I think that I'm able to not put a price on, and I think that the money is getting a little crazy at some points. So for people that might have not had a great childhood, or maybe not has great parents growing up, it's tough for them to look at a number that's more than what they got last year and then say no to it. Mm-hmm. Right. So I feel like that's when it gets tough. And then also just it's finding that medium between, feeling entitled and being humble, because I feel like now it's really easy for players and even coaches to be entitled to more money or more this and that. So, I feel like we're, you know, this year it's obviously more crazy than ever, and hopefully that it swings the other way soon, just of how it is now. But you know, I feel both ways, and I think that the money can be a good thing, and it can be a motivating factor. It can be you know, a way to just get a jump on your financial success in the future and allow yourself to learn about, you know, just how to be financially smart, and there are pros to that for sure, but I think that it's finding that medium that we still have to we still got to find that happy medium. So that's kind of my stance on it.
One of the things you said in there, how it's important to have family and friends come up and watch you play.
Yeah.
Now, and I know, because you're in the middle of a grind in that MSU basketball season, I know it's got to be next to impossible for you to get down to Northwest to watch your brothers play. Did that opportunity ever come up? Did you get to watch your brothers play this season?
I think I was able to make it down to like a game or two, I think, this year, which was amazing. And
what's that like for you?
Sorry, what was that?
What's that like for you, being able to come back home? Kind of.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to what I said. Like, there's so much value in that, where there's so much value in that that you can't put a price on, and I feel like I maybe can take it for granted at some points, but when I really go back and think, it's really special, and it's the reason why, you know, I didn't just go chase the money, and I didn't go chase this and that. It's things like that where I can, you know, I can look at my brothers playing and see what they're doing, and you know, have buddies and go up. And obviously, during the year, it's tough, and there's not much I can do. But every little thing here counts, mm-hmm. and you know, I try every day and to not take it for granted and really understand the level of thankfulness that I have for coaches and everything to get me here and the position that I have been since my freshman year. So,
now with that being said, your brother Hudson chose a school, and maybe I shouldn't have brought this up. I don't think Mark knows yet. He's going to Michigan.
Oh, okay.
How does that make you feel? Obviously, you want what's best for your brother. He's such a good kid. He's got such a bright future. I think it'll probably be a fun thing for you guys to go back and forth on.
Yeah, it's, you know, I've got mixed feelings.
right.
Yeah, obviously, he's a track runner, and we'll see what happens this year with that. But I think for him, he's more trying to go on the engineering path. So So, you know, he visited around, and he visited Michigan's engineering school, and he visited our school, our engineering school, and ultimately felt like Michigan's was a better fit for him and had better resources. So I can't really knock him on that. But the, you know, obviously him wearing the yellow and blue is going to be tough. It's going to be a tough look. And for me, it's, I'm probably going to be threatening him every single time he, we got a family event or something like that to not be wearing any of that around. And my mom, I'm sure she's already shopping for the split household flag and split household shirts and all that stuff. I'm sure she's already getting on it. But, yeah, I just, you know, is it going to be in the student section for when we play them, or is it going to be in the parent section? I don't know yet. We'll have to see how that goes.
Right.
At least you didn't pick Ohio State. Let's,
yeah.
All right, well, I had the Michigan question lined up for later, but we went there, so I'm going to ask it. The half-court incident this year, and I know it's been some time since that's passed, but I want to get your take on that and your thoughts on that. And when you saw that kind of unfold on the floor at the Brez, what was kind of going through your head at that time?
Yeah.
Don't hold back, man. Just let it out.
I'm not. All right. I think it was a little cheap. I think they knew what they were doing. I think Trey probably could have approached it a different way that was a little more cordial. In a way that, you know, probably wouldn't have taken as long to resolve, and you probably could have done it a different way, but I do think that They knew what they were doing, and they knew the importance of our senior tradition, and the I think just the seeing that the respect wasn't there, and you know, Dusty May's comments after the game about them not knowing it was wrong to stand at half court while they're shooting free throws, and you can go back and see every other free throw attempt that they're shooting all game. They're on the 3-point line and they're off the Spartan head. So I feel like they knew what they were doing, but I feel like Trey probably overreacted a little bit when it got down to it, and I don't know, like that's just something that that I feel like probably needed to be communicated better. But I thought it was a little cheap.
So the next chance to have played Michigan would have been in the Elite Eight. Was there any talk about having Michigan again if they made it past Auburn in the Elite Eight?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Mm-hmm. We were, we talked about it a little bit. I think that everyone's kind of holding their tongues a little bit and just seeing what happened, because we were like, in the moment, we're okay with playing anybody. But I think personally for me, I kind of wanted to see them again, and the importance of that game and that aspect and that venue would have been unreal. And I think it would have been, you know, I think it would have been an intense game, but ultimately we were ready for anybody, but I think that the majority of the guys did want to see those guys again.
Yeah, you know, I did let Michigan have it for after that. I did.
Well, I did too. And I'm a Michigan fan.
Mark agreed, yeah. But you know, Dusty may not, you know, claiming he doesn't know about the tradition. I mean, I could go on about that all day, but we'll leave it there for now. But, you know, another thing I wanted to talk to you about was, you know, we talked about the guys leaving, but you've got some really good ball players coming in this season too. Mm-hmm. Jordan Scott, Cam Ward, the announcement of Caleb Glenn coming in. Have you got a chance to talk to those guys at all, or check out their game online or any of that kind of thing? What's the talk been like about those guys coming in?
Yeah, we've got some good guys coming in for sure. And our recruiting isn't done yet. Yeah, the coaches are still working on that.
Yeah.
So that's that. But yeah, we're tight with Jordan Scott and Cam. They've been around campus a bunch. You know, they kind of started recruiting them. Shoot, I think it was before even last year, and so they've been around. And Cam, you know, he came out to our Maryland game, and we were out there being from there, and he came to a couple of our tournament games and stuff like that. So we're pretty close with them, and they're excited to get over here and start wearing a Spartan uniform for sure. I haven't talked to Caleb Glenn as much. as I should, and I probably can get on that. But, you know, just seeing his game online, he's going to be a big piece for us for sure. He's going to be a big piece in what we do and what we are and what our and what our culture is and what, you know, what we value here. So he's going to be able to resemble all that and hopefully be a big piece for us next year.
Now, part of a team is having time to gel. Is you know, the Spartans that we're going to have for the next season, is there going to be enough time to gel? And kind of like the follow-up with that, what's the goal? Where do you realistically see this season ending next year?
Yeah. Yeah, last year, you know, we did have three transfers come in, or we had Shimon and Frankie come in.
Mm-hmm.
So with the Spain trip that we had, that really allowed us to gel quickly. Although we did have a lot of guys that were already close and everything like that, and this year is going to be a little different in that aspect. But I think that just naturally we do a lot of team bonding, just without even planning it, just hanging around and being around the gym, stuff like that is so valuable, and I don't think we really realize it. And I'll give Coach all the credit too, because he does a great job of finding guys that are going to fit that locker room vibe and that locker room morale, because ultimately we saw that this year where a team that might not necessarily be as talented on paper is able to do the things that we can do by being close and having the numbers and being able to rely on one another. Stuff like that is so valuable without just being talented. So Coach does a great job of finding guys who are like that. And realistically for next year, I think, you know, with the guys that are coming back and the progression that we see from everybody staying and the guys that are coming in, I think being a back-to-back Big Ten championship is realistic. And then in the future, hopefully getting to that third weekend in the NCAA tournament.
Carson Cooper joining us here on The Daily on Jackson's Fox Sports 101.9 FM. We also have Jacob Tuttle in the studio with That Solid Tuttle Concrete. Jacob?
So one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about was, you know, this being your third year, you know, your freshman year, you got to experience beating Marquette, going to the Sweet 16. This year, you obviously made it to the Elite Eight. So this was another run that you made during your career. But how was that different this time around with you being a junior leader versus you being a freshman and experiencing it for the first time?
Yeah, that was a good question. I think for me, it was just the feeling of being more comfortable in that position, and how we've been playing all year, and the confidence that I was playing with. I think that was the difference, you know, kind of being that wide-eyed freshman kid that doesn't really know much, and going to that Sweet 16 my freshman year, and stuff like that is, you know, I'm kind of playing off the fly, and I'm just, you know, kind of more or less just kind of existing out there and just trusting the fundamentals and what I was doing all year. Now, this year, it was more of, me actually having a big impact on our winning. I think my freshman year, I didn't have as big of an impact. So now being able to really, play monumental minutes and put together, the games that ultimately can propel us forward is huge. But also we've been playing in big games all year, and on the road and stuff like that. So the moment wasn't too big for any of us, because I think that we were all kind of used to being the underdog all year and living up to those low expectations overcoming the low expectations that everyone had for us. So just having that confidence that we had from winning and doing that is huge. And for me, being that leader, it was awesome.
Let me ask you this. When it comes to the end of your senior season, I'm sure you're not looking – I'm sure you've got an idea of where you want to go, but I know the answer is going to be I want to focus on my senior season. But I'm just going to ask you to look a little bit beyond that. What's the goal for you? Where do you want to be once Spartan Nation's behind you and it's after your senior year? Where's Carson Cooper going to be?
Yeah. So for me, I want to continue playing basketball after college, professionally for sure. I think that with the support that we have and me having to really buy in and make a monumental jump during the year, I know you said we weren't going to talk about it, but I was like making the jump that I want to make during this year, then I feel like that I can be playing professionally, whether that is NBA or Europe. I think that is realistic for me, and as I continue to develop and make a big jump next year. But ultimately, that's my goal and that's my aspiration, and then that's something that I got to be extra motivated to achieve.
So what are the goals then for this year? For you personally, what's the big jump that you have to make this year to make that happen?
Yeah, I think, obviously my numbers have got to be higher in all aspects. But I just got to be able to play more free offensively. I know that, like, second half of the year, this year, I started playing a lot more fluid and even rebounding. Like, it was a night and day in the first half of the year with what I was doing. And I really felt like I hit my stride towards the end of the year. But next year, I've just got to be able to be that guy that, you know, has a go-to move and can be reliable when he gets it offensively, because I think last year it was, it was on and off. It was on and off. And, a lot of that is having good guards that can throw lobs and that can create and then put us in good positions. But for me, I think that, if I can average 8 points and 10 rebounds or 9 rebounds, something like that, and a couple assists is realistic. And that's something that I've been capable of, as we could see in a couple of games last year.
Yeah, so, another thing, one of the big things that we noticed this season was your free throw shooting. Mm-hmm. You were above 70% shooting free throws this year, if I remember right. Obviously, Coach Izzo stresses that a lot, and being a good free throw shooting team has been a huge help throughout the entire season, and especially when it came down to the run that was made in the postseason there. So you've obviously improved on your shooting as far as free throws go. Do you feel like you are feeling more comfortable shooting the ball versus, obviously everyone knows you can throw it down, catch the ball, put it up for a layup. So I know you talked about your shooting. Do you feel like since your free throw shooting has come around, you just feel more comfortable shooting field goals as well?
Yeah, for sure. I think that, obviously, Coach has been on me since my freshman year to get my free throws up. I think I was 50% or something like that free throw shooting my freshman year. So for having that confidence and really seeing the progression and seeing the results this year is huge. But also, I mean, Coach has been adamant about telling me that, I did put in the work for my free throws. I did do this and that, and we saw results. So I've just got to do the same thing I did with my free throws to the jump shots and other shots like that I'm going to take in the game. But free throws are nice and they're cool because it takes a lot of technique, and I feel like I have good technique that it's able to translate to jump shots. And as we work out, I feel like I have a good jump shot where, as soon as I get comfortable and as soon as I can get my feet under me and continue to stay reliable to hit those in practice and stuff, then we're going to be able to see them in game next year. So, hopefully for me, I'm able to get to a point where I can shoot a three or two a game, off of a catch and shoot and just be that guy where teams really got to take a look and make it harder for some of the other bigs to guard. So, that for sure is going to be a big aspect in my development this summer too.
Yeah. So, obviously we're excited to see that. We're excited to see the jump that you make from your junior year to your senior year. One thing I wanted to ask you, obviously everybody talks about NIL. You chose to stay at Michigan State because, and you've already talked to us about why. when it comes to NIL, is there a way local sponsors, especially people in the Jackson area or people listening, could jump on board with Carson Cooper, you know, to help with that NIL money?
Yeah, I mean, I know that we have the local website when it comes down to the Sparty NIL website where they can give. And then also, I think that being able to connect with me and allow me to be able to work with companies in Jackson and stuff like that is awesome too, because I don't shy away from ever supporting like the local companies in Jackson, especially you know, recently with True Community Credit Union and stuff like that. The success we had in that is you know, is a testament to the companies in Jackson that work hard and you know, I can do my part as well as you guys to be successful. And I think that you know, there are certain ways to do that, and Sparty NIL is just the first website that that we have now, and then hopefully work together in the future with some companies around the Jackson area.
Well, Carson, I know we kept you a long time today, and we certainly do appreciate your time. And before we let you go, I just want to say thank you. You know, whenever we're watching MSU basketball, no matter where your fandom lies here in Jackson, I know I do it, and I'm sure everybody else does it. When we're watching MSU basketball, it's always, hey, we know that guy, or hey, did you know that guy's from Jackson? No, seriously, thank you for representing Jackson. Yeah. Thank you for representing Jackson so well. It's been, even though I'm a Michigan fan, it's been so much fun watching you on the floor, and we appreciate you. So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Thanks, Carson. I appreciate you coming on, and hey, we're all wishing you best of luck this year.
Yeah, appreciate you guys for having me. It was fun.
We'll talk to you again soon, Carson.
Awesome. Thank you.
Carson Cooper joining us here on The Daily on Jackson's Fox Sports 101.9 FM. All right, we got a little catch-up we got to do, which is fine, and we're going to talk a little more about Tiger baseball, maybe jump into the NBA just a little bit as well. As The Daily continues, Jacob Tuttle in the studio, That's Solid on Jackson's Fox Sports 101.9 FM, as we are live from the McKibben Media Group World Headquarters in Summit Township. We are back with more. Well, I thought we were. Hold on a second. Gremlins get us every once in a while. It happens. Back with more after this. And that was a lot of fun. You're listening to The Daily on Jackson's Fox Sports 101.9 FM via the McKibben Media Group World Headquarters in Summit Township. And we're brought to you by Knudsen's, your outdoor convenience store. Kettlebell Hotspot, where your functional fitness begins. Bud Light, McUltra, and Tri-County Water. Yeah, that's good water. TriCountyWater.com. Polly's Country Markets on board with us here at The Daily. Now, I have to, Jacob, I can't say the name of this business. Okay, I'm giving Polly's a little extra love here. I can't say the name of this business, but there's this place that we always like to go get our pizzas from that recently changed hands.
Okay.
They changed the recipe to the ranch.
Oh.
They changed, and it's not as good as it was. It's not as good as it was, Jacob. So do you know what we're forced to do now?
You're going to Polly's.
To get the Hidden Valley salad dressing, which right now is just $2.
I saw that
if
coming.
If you need to get the ranch, because the place you like to go totally destroyed the ranch, you go get the Hidden Valley because you know what you're getting.
That's
at Hidden Valley.
That yep. is an art.
It is.
Making a good ranch is an art.
In Hidden Valley, at for just $2 now at Polly's Country Market, you know what you're getting.
You can't beat
you
it.
You can't beat Hidden Valley Ranch. You can also get cage-free large eggs. Get a dozen for $4, but that's for the cage-free. And Folgers Coffee to chase that egg with Folgers Coffee. Get that large, ginormous canister for just $8 at Polly's.
That's a good price for eggs right now.
It's the fancy cage-free eggs.
Yeah.
You know, it's the ones...
You don't want eggs from a chicken in a cage. Like, what? Why would you eat that? You know?
No, those are eggs that are easy to get. You got to get ones, you know.
Yeah, you got to earn these ones.
You got to earn the eggs. I love it. All right. So that was fun talking with Carson. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I just love how down to earth he is. And honestly, he's not afraid to answer some of the hard questions. Coaches won't shy away from it. they're going to, and administrators aren't going to shy away from like the NIL and portal questions that we ask, but there's going to be a lot of players that are going to.
Right.
And he didn't, and it wasn't even really that political of an answer, but I mean, he answered it, he stuck with it, and it was very insightful. Not just that, but a lot of the stuff that we got from him today. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. You know, especially when it comes to NIL and transfer portal, that's where you can start to get a little bit more political because, you know, everything's run by the money.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, his opinion is a little bit different than, you know, the colleges and everybody, the NCAA, everybody trying to make a dime. He's really down to earth. He actually is very grateful for what he has. And so it's just really good to see. He likes to give back. So it's always a fun conversation with Carson.
Yeah. And the personal relationships that he had. You know, we're going to call them players. We're going to call them teammates, but they're friends. They're friendships, and they're deep friendships. You talk about the type of time and the stuff that they're going through together. Right. And just to have that change, having one kid going from MSU to another, you're losing your relationship. Dynamics on the team are changing, and how he addressed those questions. Yeah. It was very insightful and so fun to listen to.
Yeah. Yeah. That's an emotional situation, you know, especially with Trey. They're really close. You know, they've been roommates the last couple of years. So, I know, you know, I'm glad that he said though, hey, I was trying to convince Trey to stay here in East Lansing. You know, but like you said, you know, it's, everybody's chasing the money. They're chasing playing time. You know, they got to do what's best for their future. So
now is his brother running track for U of M or just going to school there?
You know what? I think that's still, you know, we're waiting to see how that all works out.
If I remember correctly, I think his brother runs the half. Well, we used to call the half, runs the 800. I remember correctly, because we do follow, I mean, we don't follow it as much as we follow baseball here at the high school level, but we do keep our eye on a lot of the high school stuff that happens. So,
yeah. So, and you know, it's painful for me to watch.
Oh, come on.
You know, he makes it look so easy. Hudson makes it look so easy.
Oh, I thought you were talking about going to U of M. All right.
Well, that is obviously very painful for me to watch. But
to watch him run
track, because I'm so slow and out of shape. And so when you watch someone run track, and Hudson makes it look easy. But yeah, I mean, the whole family's a good family. Bryson's a sophomore, playing a lot of varsity basketball over at Northwest.
They both played this
excited
year,
to see what he does in the next couple of years too. So
cool. Yeah. All right. Well, I'll tell you what, let's step aside and we're going to talk. Cause like I told you, we got a little makeup that we got to do. So let's talk Tiger baseball. Let's finish up that conversation. And if we have time, we'll dip our toe into the NBA, just a little bit. This is the Daily on Jackson's Fox Sports 101.9 FM. Via the McKibben Media Group World Headquarters in Summit Township. Jacob Tuttle in the studio with us with That Solid. Back with more here in just a sec on The Daily. Welcome back to The Daily, Jackson's Fox Sports 101.9 FM via the McKibben Media Group World Headquarters in Summit Township. Brought to you by Knudsen's, your outdoor convenience store. Kettlebell Hotspot, where your functional fitness begins. Bud Light McUltra and Tri-County Water. Ah, that's good water. TriCountyWater.com, because you need peace of mind about what's really in your water. Tri-County Water hydrating the show today. Jacob Tuttle in the studio. That's solid. We haven't talked much about Tuttle Concrete because we've been busy talking about other things, but when you have days like today where it looks nice, I don't know. I haven't been outside since it's been light out, but it looks nice outside. Do days like today make the phone ring a little bit more?
Yeah, you know, that happens every year. I mean, our phone rang off the hook for a while. We had a couple of days, you know, here and there that were kind of sunny. People were outside a little bit. They're getting a little bit excited, even though they know that we're in third winter right now. So, but, you know, yeah, it starts to get nice out. It starts to warm up. People are outside more often, and they're thinking about grilling on their patio. They're thinking about being able to grill outside. Having a patio would be nice. So, hey, you know, I'm sick of, you know, not having a space out here in the backyard I want to enjoy. Or, you know, hey, now that the snow's not here anymore, my driveway looks pretty terrible. So, especially when it's asphalt, that is just the worst. So,
You've seen my house, you know, yeah.
You know, so it's starting to ring. You know, we definitely have opportunities to get people in July and August, you know, in the rest of the season. So if you want to get something done, definitely give us a call. We'll make it happen.
Tiger baseball. We started the show a little bit there, but I mean, we were kind of scrambling a little bit because we had, you know, all of our 13 producers coming in and out the door trying to connect with Carson. So it was kind of, you know, we were talking
yeah, right.
We were talking about the Tigers, yet we were a little distracted at the time talking about the Tigers. But Tigers last five games, they're 2-3. They took the series with Minnesota. They lost the series with Milwaukee. Kansas City Royals, their last five games, they are 1-4, and they got swept by the New York Baseball Stankies. I think that's one thing we can agree on. We both hate the Yankees.
Oh yeah, we gotta call them the Stankies. All right. I don't even like saying the other.
So and when you take those transactional properties, I think that's the right term for it. Tigers beat the Yankees in their series. Kansas City gets swept by the Yankees. When you have such a long season like baseball, are those things that we can really? I'm going to my baseball expert here. Are those things that we can really look at when you're looking at past records and how your team did against another team compared to your opponent did against another team? It's the first time they faced each other this season.
Yeah, you know, that is something that you can pay attention to. However, one thing you have to understand too is, and you said it, you know, it's a 162 game season. Mm-hmm. Baseball anymore, there's not a lot of Cal Ripken Juniors anymore. So guys are playing, you know, 100. You know, if a guy plays 120 to 140 games in a season, you know, they played a lot of games. And you got guys off here and there. You got guys with injury down here and there. You got a five-man rotation. Most teams still have a five-man rotation nowadays. So which pitchers did they use? There's a lot of matchups. There's a lot of individual matchups, you know, with the strategy involved in which pitchers they want facing which batters and things like that. So in a way, it's something that you can look into how one team played another team throughout a series and how it could potentially translate into the Tigers playing that team. However, it's not something completely that you can go by, at least with the baseball.
We're only 18 games into the season for the Tigers right now. They're 10-8 on the season. At one point, they were leading the entire American League with 10 wins, but the Yankees have caught them. The Yankees are 11-7. Blue Jays are 11-8. You got the Rangers. The Rangers, 11-7 on the season. To me, that feels you're kind of like a sleeper team because nobody's really watching the Rangers right now. It's all about the AL East. When you're talking about the American League, it's all about the AL East. And then it's like the other two, the Central and the West, are just kind of like, oh, we'll talk about them after we're done talking about the East. But
yeah.
The Rangers, don't sleep on the Rangers this year.
Well, I mean, you think about, do you remember the last year the Rangers won the World Series?
No, I don't.
It was 2023.
Okay.
So they just won the World Series a couple years ago. They were a sleeper team then, too. It was like, where did the Rangers come from? And you know what? I don't know if it's because we're Midwest, we're Michigan, we just don't pay attention out there, what the deal is. You know, maybe nationally it was a little bit of a different story, but it does seem like they're one of those teams that just, you know, in 23 and this year, you know, so far, they're just, you know, they're quietly winning games, which honestly, you know, is a good spot to be in.
Yeah. Well, really, the division to watch is the NL West. That's
right.
The one
yeah.
to watch. You got the with the way that the season ended last year and the way the season started this year, it's like the Dodgers should be undefeated right now. They got a 14-6 record. That's third in the NL West.
Yeah.
If you got the Padres at 15-4, the Giants at 13-5, and then 14-6 for the Dodgers. And the Diamondbacks are 11-7.
Yeah,
the Rockies won out of that division so bad with their three wins. They won out of that division. So,
yeah.
But that's really, I mean, we don't have our eye on it because we're all about the AL Central here, but that's the division that's got some good baseball right now.
Yeah, I had Dodgers and Rockies on last night. It mm-hmm. was late. I'm flipping through the channels.
You're trying to go to sleep?
They're playing over in L.A. Yeah. I watch the Rockies when I want to go to sleep. No, so I'm watching and you watch this team, and it really is this Dodgers team. It's like an all-star team. It's insane to me. It makes me upset. You know, it's one of those things like, yeah, if you're a Dodgers fan, it's great. But is it great because do you really feel like you earned it at that point, or did you just pay for it? You know, so it's just one of those things where,
both.
You know,
you can pay for it, but you still got to perform.
Yeah, but you've got 6, 8, 10 all-stars on a team. You know, probably 3 or 4 guys that are going to the Hall of Fame for sure that we know.
Yeah.
It's just crazy to see a team like this put together. You know, the fact that they don't have the best record in baseball is a little crazy. I mean, they're really close.
Right.
But yeah, I'm just glad it's baseball season, you know.
All right. So I've got my Tuttle Concrete baseball pocket schedule out, and I'm looking for the first game for the Tuttle Concrete. What are you guys? Tuttle Concrete
or
what?
Just Tuttle Concrete baseball team.
You're not. You're taking the Utah Hockey Club route there.
Yeah.
The Tuttle Concrete baseball team. All right.
So, yeah, the...
Following on Game Changer.
We don't have an official schedule yet.
Okay.
I know that we're going to be getting started towards the end of April here, playing some games. We've got... we're going to have our opening day ceremony coming up, which I believe is May 2nd.
Oh, God, we got some time yet, though. So we're still in spring training for the...
Yeah, we're still in spring training. We actually, I mean, with this Michigan weather, we just had our first practice Tuesday night.
In your Carhartt gear.
Yeah, I said, you know what, I'm not canceling another practice.
Yeah.
Dress warm. You know, we gotta get after it.
Yeah.
You know, these kids someday are going to be playing for all these local high schools, and our job is to make sure that they are equipped when they get there. You know, this is just one of those things. You know, they're 9 and 10, but this is where it starts. You know, this is arguably more important than, you know, me being a little league coach. I'm probably more valuable than all these major league coaches and whatnot, okay. I would say. And I just do it out of the kindness of my heart. No, honestly, it's an absolute blast. I love spending time with my boys. I love, you know, the relationships I have with these kids on the team is so much fun. But, yeah, so we're going to be getting started soon. We got another practice tonight. So
I'm following you just like I'm following the rest of the high school team. So we'll, you're the only. What is this? Is it that's considered Little League or what? It's considered what?
Yeah, we are affiliated with Little League.
All right, so. You're the only Little League team in my Game Changer.
Right.
So
and that's why it should be, you know.
Jacob, man, it was fun. Hey, you have yourself a great Easter.
Thanks
for being
Mark,
here today.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
This is The Daily on Jackson's Fox Sports, 101.9 FM. We are off tomorrow for Good Friday. Captain Steve will be in with you on Monday. I'll be back with you on Tuesday. So between now and then, stay safe. We will see you soon.